audio version of Michael Laitman's blog. November 30th, 2019. Family and Marriage, Part 6. Time and Love for Children. Question: do I understand correctly that nature instinctively instilled love for children in us, only so that we would learn to treat other people the same way? Answer: yes and no. Over time, love for children will change. It is already changing. Today, people relate to children differently than before. Throughout all generations, there has been a draw, caring, and love for children, but all this is changing. Since our desire, understanding of the world, and method of communicating with the outside world are changing, naturally, the attitude toward children as a part of the world is changing too. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 1st, 2019. Rethinking Social Media in the Era of Hatred, Newsmax. My article in Newsmax, Rethinking Social Media in the Era of Hatred. If Hitler had access to social media like there is today, he would have been allowed to buy ads, reflected British actor Sacha Baron Cohen in a recent thought-provoking statement, calling internet platforms the greatest propaganda machine in history, ruled by money. I concur, but beyond the speeches, real changes will demand unprecedented measures in times of extraordinary challenges to face bigotry, discrimination, and the most deeply rooted form of hatred, antisemitism. Social media has been deliberately built to influence our emotions, preferences, decisions, impulses, energy, attention span, and interactions. There is a well-established process to influence our minds and pockets. The internet was created for the purpose of serving humanity, says its inventor, Tim Berners-Lee, who 30 years later laments how the opposite has been achieved, and communities are being ripped apart as prejudice, hate, and disinformation are peddled online, suggesting that the web needs radical intervention from all those who have power over its future. Is the future of humanity for sale? Social media and the media in general have become the ruling power, where everything is permissible regardless of the veracity or positive benefit to society. The current communication systems are handled according to monetary interests, a reflection of human nature that is innately egoistic, that is, aiming at self-benefit and exploitative relations. We will eventually need to realize that any technological innovation or means failing to advance humanity toward greater positive connection only harms it. But how can we achieve such a lofty goal considering that it is against the way we are built, egoistic? It will happen when we eventually feel there is no other alternative to thrive but to change direction. The world is rapidly moving toward a dead end, a turning point in social evolution. Power structures are shaking in multiple countries around the planet, as we have witnessed in the last few weeks. Global economic debacle is predicated by international analysts. Such a scenario is showing us that self-centered perceptions and actions are reaching maximum capacity. If money can now buy anything, it will gradually lose its value, and social media as well as political, economic, and social actors will have to find a way to stay afloat. Here is precisely where the Jewish people can contribute to society's betterment. It is not by chance that the main social media platforms such as Facebook, Google, and others have been created by Jews. It gives us a hint of our true identity, our purpose, and role in the world, to unite humanity as a whole. We currently have the tools, now it is time to learn how to use them for a higher purpose. New principles for a new society, the role of the Jewish nation. About a century ago, Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag wrote, "Do not be surprised if I mix together the well-being of a particular collective with the well-being of the whole world, because indeed, we have already come to such a degree that the whole world is considered one collective and one society." The Jewish nation can pioneer the correction of what needs to be fixed in the world, human relations, the way we relate to one another and the purpose of what we have created to either belittle or support each other. The use of social media To enhance mutual concern and a more holistic perception will positively shape the world of today and tomorrow. In order to do so, every society could follow the model established by the Jewish people centuries ago, similar to what was called an ancient Israel, a Sanhedrin, an ideological body responsible for the nation's right direction, to achieve balance and harmony. Similarly, in today's world, the model of such an ideological body, a pluralistic watchdog where all the ideas are represented and discussed, until a common agreement is reached, and only then disseminated, could help monitor the correct use of social media. Such a body should be comprised of representatives from the entire political spectrum, as in Congress, in charge of evaluating media. If harmful or malicious information is disseminated to the general public, instead of only facts, as the world becomes increasingly interdependent, people will have to expand their circle of concern. We need to enhance our social sensitivity, broaden our worldview, better understand our nature as human beings, our limits and responsibilities, and most importantly, learn how to tap into our inherent wiring for human connection. If the world started feeling an upgrade in consciousness, a positive change in their lives through this new model, to find balanced communications and human interaction, the tendency toward anti-Semitism would invert. The Jewish nation will be perceived as the conduit of the good that fills people's lives. Such a sense of fulfillment can be achieved if we start using the web as a common umbrella of mutual understanding and support that would help us unite above all of our differences, divisions, and conflicts. Why the next Holocaust can happen in America. Talk with Shaul Majid.
Well, the question of anti-Semitism in America is obviously a complicated one, as we see on the news all the time. I think that there's an important distinction in my mind to make between anti-Semites and anti-Semitism, and that is as follows. One of the lessons of Pittsburgh was not the fact that some deranged person, you know, who was actually targeting a synagogue that was supporting immigrants who were not Jews, obviously immigrants of color, in terms of the Hayas group, came and murdered 11 Jews. I think that, as horrific as that is, I think the interesting thing about Pittsburgh was how the American community, American Muslims, Latino Americans, Evangelical Americans, Americans on the right, Americans on the left, all came out in support of the Jews of Pittsburgh. In other words, it wasn't a sign of anti-Semitism. In some way, Pittsburgh was a sign of the lack of anti-Semitism. Not that there wasn't an anti-Semite that went and murdered Jews, but the entire country came out in support. That was not true in Germany, obviously, as you know. So I think the issue is...
In Germany, it was even more than that. There was more support in Germany. Germans were in favor of Jews. You know how the Nazi movement started? It started with Jews. With Jews. Jews and Nazis worked together with the settlement in Israel. They supported Jews moving to Israel. They wanted to help establish the state of Israel. That's how it started. In Germany, the fact that verbally you hear about support in what versus what happens in Pittsburgh, it doesn't mean anything. Let's not shut our eyes. Look, we are really facing a danger. It is gradually escalating and expanding. If we fail to recognize it, it's just like the Jews, while they were taken to Auschwitz in a train, they thought they were being taken on a trip. Let's not, God forbid, reach this kind of situation. In my eyes, in my view, I'm seeing a great danger. That's why I'm trying to awaken the hearts of Jews to actually recognize what is happening. What I'm seeing is that history is repeating itself, just like they didn't think that such a thing can happen in Germany, and Germans are so developed. developed and educated and intelligent and so on, culturally and so forth. The Jews before the Holocaust were everywhere, as you know, in culture and science and literature, and they were in the top of German society. But what happened? None of that was actually what shut their eyes. That helped shutting their eyes. Because when I, for instance, went to talk in universities in America and a few places, so I was in this argument, trying to tell them how can't you not see what's happening. That was with the Hillel organization. That was maybe 8 years ago, 7-8 years ago. They didn't agree at all with what I was saying. Of course, they tried to shame me for talking about these things, you know, about we are mixed with everyone, and look what's happening now. There's barely a safe place in campuses in terms of anti-Semitism.
Why the next Holocaust can happen in America. Talk with Shaul Magid. Magid, the distinguished fellow in Jewish studies at Dartmouth College, meets Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman to discuss anti-Semitism, and why America is one of the most sensitive countries, where it can have an immersive growth. The most developed nations of the world can feel the severest effects of anti-Semitism. This is so, because they better feel that Jews are hiding the key to heaven from them. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, Jews really do. They bear the method of correction, which lets them bring the force of love and bestowal into the world, and prevent the upcoming overall crisis. This method the Jewish people received in ancient Babylon 3,800 years ago from Abraham, who revealed that building positive human connections helps to consciously rise above the destructive egoistic human nature. Today, there is an urgent need for this method to be shared with everyone. Unfortunately, after three exiles, it was lost, and Jews fell into some kind of coma. There is a false sensation of being secure. Even though recently, we were able to observe the anti-Semitic acts all over the world, especially in the US, instead of turning to their nature and become a light unto the nations, Jews powerlessly fight against anti-Semitism, advocating laws for protecting Jews and state security. With such a state of things, the next Holocaust can happen in a country like America. In order to prevent this, we must understand that the solution lies in the connection between us. The Jewish people need to do so first, and by the law of nature, the world will follow them. Male and female, part 1. Two forces in the universe. Question. Kabbalists write that the relationship between genders is the foundation of the entire universe. Are people divided into men and women because there is the creator and the created beings? Answer, yes. Two forces of the universe, the force of bestowal and the force of reception, are manifested in matter in the form of man and woman. Question, so the force of bestowal is the male essence and the female essence is the force of reception? Answer, yes, but purely conditionally. In principle, from the aspect of forces, this is true. The male force gives, and the female one receives. However, when it comes to receiving and bestowing, it does not mean that the female force is attuned to the egoistic quality to receive, and the male one to the altruistic quality to bestow. In each person there are both forces, both male and female. From KabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 31st, 2018.